me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
What did you say, nigga?
Love that shit. What's going on? Welcome. Konnichiwa. You know what I'm saying. It's Thursday night. You know what I'm saying? Thursday night, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, midnight Eastern Standard Time. You're listening to the Nestorius Public Radio Show once again. If you're listening live, you can call 1-800-893-9562 and, you know, chime in on the shit talk. Yeah, you know, things are popping. Sal, my regular co-host is off this week. Something just happened. I hope, he told me earlier that his mom, had not been responding to any of his siblings', phone calls, and her phone is off. So I hope she's okay and not, soaking in some air conditioning in a movie theater because it's fucking hot in LA this week, man. It's like 100, 101, 102. A good time to price Haagen-Dazs ice cream and just keep the refrigerator door open. Anyway, so I want to welcome my guest and I want to welcome my co-host, Giacomo Mirarchi.
Yeah, correct.
¿Cómo estás?
Bene. Good. And you?
Bene. And my host for today, Matt Simmons.
Hello.
What's going on?
Oh, good. I'm just, first time on a podcast.
First time on a podcast. Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm glad that we could burst that bubble. Matt is a for-hire photographer. He does big events, red carpet events. Do you do, what other stuff do you do?
I do a lot of music and a lot of parties and red carpets.
So when I said for hire, which is kind of redundant because all photographers are for hire. I didn't know how to put it.
Right. Yeah. I guess freelance.
Freelance would be better. Right. Yeah. Right. Okay. But I mean, I thought like there's a photojournalist, there's glamour photographer. I mean, there's, you know, all sorts of type of photographers. So what would you consider yourself?
Right. I guess what people would say would be editorial.
Editorial.
Meaning, yeah. That it goes in magazines and newspapers.
Got it.
Yeah. For and print.
Got it. Editorial photographer. All right. How long have you been doing that?
Well, I started working at the LA Daily News in 1999 as on the picture desk straight out of community college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Straight out of...
While still in community college.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So how did that happen? How'd you get into that?
Our photojournalism professor was the picture desk editor at the Daily News.
Mm.
And he would... he made us basically Photoshop monkeys, you know? We would handle all the pre-press for the photos before they went in the newspaper. And if we were lucky, we'd get to go out and shoot some assignments, some chili cook-offs, some baby parades, you know.
Yeah.
And you
were one of the promising ones.
Yeah, I did well. You know, he would pick from the class who he thought could do it.
Sure.
And, I really loved to shoot high school football. That was my thing.
That's your thing.
Yeah. That Friday Night Lights was, you get that. It's just an amazing atmosphere.
Because the energy, because the lights, because of you love football, because hot girls and short shorts and skirts or...
There's some of that. And I think you can't really appreciate high school when you're in high school.
Right.
When you go back and look at it, you're like, man, this is really, these kids don't understand that they have probably the best part of their life right now.
Well, I mean, you don't realize what the meaning of youth is wasted on the young until you hit 45, 50.
Absolutely. I would totally reverse it if I could.
I never understood what the fuck that meant. I used to think, you know, especially when I was younger, I used to think, what the fuck kind of arrogant bullshit is that? I never, like, it's not just the concept. I just didn't understand what it meant.
Yeah.
Then you realize, you know, when you hit 40, 45, 50, whatever, you start realizing that you may, if you're lucky, have 20 more fucking 4th of July's left, right?
Yeah,
or
exactly.
20 more fucking chili cookouts left, if you know, to put it like that, right?
Yeah.
And so you realize that, damn, did I do everything so far? I mean, because life is about time, right? And life is about, like getting things done, right? and accomplishing things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not all life is, but it's a major part of our society, right?
For me, when I was young, it was about get it done. What's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? And I kind of didn't pay attention to what I was, you know, being present in the moment that I was in. You know, so when you go back, you know, when you're 22, 23, you go back and you look at a high school football game and you don't have homework due.
Right.
And you don't have to go to classes.
Right.
Then, you know, it looks like a, it just looks amazing.
It's, yeah. It's fun. I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. No, I mean, I see young people, right, and they'll be like, oh, man, I wish I was producing a movie. Oh, I wish I was doing this. Oh, I wish I was doing that. I'm like, dude, enjoy the fact that you have no fucking responsibilities and you don't have to worry about anything and get high, have fun, black out. You know what I mean? Because when you get to a certain age, man, and you got responsibilities, bills, this, that, the other, like when you have to, you got no choice, it's a different story.
Yeah, I tried to do those when I was older and it doesn't work as well.
Like,
yeah, I tried to have the party later. And
well, no, you got to have the party when you're younger. Yeah, that's the thing.
You can't do it late. You know, you can't make up that.
No, the party has to be done later. Yeah, no, the party has to be done young. You, unfortunately, you were getting it done. You were like probably an A student getting
no,
it.
No, not at all. No, I was a terrible student. So I was one of those, my teachers would say, you're so smart. Why don't you do any of the work? Why don't you? You know, you have so
because
much potential.
I'm so fucking smart.
I was the kid with all the potential.
Right. Yeah. That's funny.
Which is another
Me
way
too.
Of saying you're not doing anything.
Me too. I was always, you got so much potential.
Yeah.
I never, that's another phrase I never understood.
Potential is nothing.
I never understood that. Yeah. Like seriously, I never understood that. I had a job. I remember working at Federal Express, also known as FedEx. And I'm a worker. I've always worked. I've been working since I was 9 years old, maybe eight. Okay. So, you know, when things have to get done, I can show up, I can make it happen, I can work. And I remember I was working as a courier, and there was this one guy who was the supervisor. This guy's an Italian dude. He had a big fucking bushy mustache. New York Italian guy.
Okay.
You know, big bushy mustache. And you could tell his name was, his name was Sabara. First name, I don't remember. But he was a fucking, like, one of these torpy dickheads, right? And I could tell he was, like, I just show up on time, do your job, and stay the fuck away from him. Because I don't like him. I don't like that type of person. I know it's an arrogant thing, but you know what I'm saying. There's certain people that you know you're going to get along with, some people you're not. So the best thing to do is do your thing and stay under the radar. Unfortunately, he is in charge of whether or not you're going to get a raise, and they give you a review. First of all, when you work for FedEx, I think you had a 90-day trial period. And then, you know, they would have, you know, dibs on whether they were going to keep you. And if they're going to keep you, then you get a raise. So this motherfucker, he didn't want to give me a raise. Because if he gave me a raise, then that's more money coming out of his business service center is what they called them. Now, Kinko's, they bought out Kinko's, so now they don't have business service centers or BSCs, which is, if you remember, they used to have storefronts where you just drop off packages at FedEx. Now they're FedEx Kinko's, right? So I guess, you know, he has a monthly operating budget or whatever. Anyway, he says something like that, like you have potential. I'm like, you got fucking potential too to get your mustache fucking ripped off your face, you motherfucker. You got potential. And at that time, I was a little fucking out there, dude. I was a little crazy. I'm still a little crazy, but out there, I was like, I would actually do that shit.
I'd like to meet that guy.
Oh, so this is what happened. This is what happened. I used to drink a lot. And after my shift, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever, after our regular shift, which was around 11:30, we'd go up to this bar on 42nd and 11th. This is in Midtown Manhattan. And 42nd 11, the bar, it was a bar diner. It was like a diner, but we used to drink there at the counter. And the place was called Kraft's, like Kraft macaroni and cheese. And of course, the supervisors from the other stations, like the big station was the 42nd and 11th Street FedEx processing station. They have one here in LA in Pacoima where all the packages go and they get sorted out. And they also had a BSC there, Business Service Center. And they also had couriers that worked out of there. So John Sullivan, I used to make this dude crack up. We used to drink. It was fun. He was like, why don't you come to work for, I forgot the name of the station, JRB, I think it was called, JRB. They all had a three-letter name. So if you ever notice packages, they have a three-letter name.
Like an LAX or an ORD for airport codes.
Not just airport codes. their business service center codes. So this business service center is coded JRB. Yeah. So yeah, it comes out of JFK and then it gets sorted and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I don't know if you know how FedEx works. FedEx, and I'm pretty sure they still do it, overnight stuff, they ship everything to Tennessee, to their main headquarters, the hub. And from Tennessee, they have the hub that packages get routed New York to all the different states.
The guy who invented that, he's famous for that.
Very famous.
I mean, that's the business model now for many other companies.
Yes, Fred Smith. Yeah. Fred Smith had the idea for FedEx or Federal Express back then as a thesis project. I believe he was in Harvard. I could be wrong. And he got a fucking F. Or they said, this is bullshit. It's not going to happen. Yeah. You know, typical things in life, right?
Yeah. Plus, teachers don't know what the hell they're talking. They never do.
Well,
that's why they're teaching.
Right, right. Well, academia is about a box, and it's about rigidity, and it's about thinking within certain confines of and parameters, which you would think an educational institution is about helping you expand your fucking way of thinking, not keeping it within certain boundaries. Yeah. You know what I mean?
There's some people that are smart enough, they don't need school.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and those people show up in a school, and they just... It's like throwing a cog in the machine.
Well, this is what I'm saying. You were saying that, you know, you were, let's get it done. I think that from the age of 13 to about 25, you should be getting fucked up, drinking, blacking out, fucking, eating pussy, eating ass, the whole nine yards. You know what I mean? All you can eat barbecue, all you can eat fucking black ass, all of it, right? And then by the time you're 25, you should have some sort of an idea of, you know, what you shouldn't be doing any longer, right? And at that point, you should focus on maybe going to school, right? Maybe go to college at 25.
Or you want to delay that.
Oh yeah. I don't think
a lot of people wouldn't survive.
I don't think everyone's read. Then what happens is that you have process of elimination.
If you don't
survive that, then you should. Well, hey, first of all, we got too many motherfuckers in society right now, so we should have a process of elimination.
Have you heard the Bill Burr bit on that?
No, tell me.
Well, he says, you know, no politician. I'm butchering it, but he's
paraphrasing.
Butchering even the paraphrase.
Yeah.
No politician is willing to tell people what they really need to hear, which is that 85% of you motherfuckers need to die.
Yeah.
That's the solution.
Yeah.
Is that we just have less people.
Yeah.
And all the problems go away.
Yeah.
But nobody's willing to on that train.
Dude, you got so many fucking retards. You have so many. And I'm not talking about incompetent, retarded motherfuckers in your job, in your school. We're talking about in society. People who cannot make basic fundamental decisions about things. They need to be told. Everyone needs to be told. I don't know. It's just so and that's fine in a small town when there's only 100 people and three of you are, you know, that way, or maybe 10 of you are that way. But when you live in a metropolis and there's millions of motherfuckers and that's like 300,000 or 400,000 people, y'all need to go.
Yeah.
By the time you're 25, you should fucking implode and get the fuck out. We don't need more drivers.
You have to make the team.
It's like you have a
roster cut.
Exactly.
You got your pink slip.
Exactly.
Have you ever heard of Hans Rosling?
No.
he has a TED Talk, amazing professor from Sweden, and he talked about it's a weird contradiction that to reduce the population, the answer is to reduce infant mortality. So basically, if less babies die, we'll have less people.
Really?
Because the reason people in poor countries tend to have a lot of kids is because they need kids to run the business, to farm the land.
Uh-huh.
And in a country where infant mortality is, say, 70%, high, they'll have more kids
to
make sure that some make it
to overcompensate for the ones that are going to go before they have a chance.
If you reduce infant mortality, then all of a sudden people start family planning and they start having
less
kids.
I don't buy that.
He does this amazing presentation with a graph, and he shows the countries with high infant mortality, and shows the amount of kids over time. And as their infant mortality goes down, the number of children per family goes down.
Right.
And the base income goes up. You have to watch the TED Talk.
No.
Because I'm once again not explaining.
I get it. I've read Freakonomics. Freakonomics has chapters like, what is the chapter that I love? Where have all the criminals gone? So they'll take a study over a period of 40 years. And they'll say, for instance, in New York or even in America, that crime has gone down, especially in New York. Mm-hmm. And then many people had argued that Police Commissioner Bratton and Giuliani had implemented, for instance, they started arresting people for petty crimes like window washers. So the idea was that if someone got caught for washing a window or stealing a cart, you remember those shopping carts? People would take them. Yeah. That's why, again, now if you notice in shopping centers, they have magnetic fucking things that, like, you try to take them and it's like, boing, 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 and you can't get past the fucking yellow line.
We had so much fun when those came out. Get the cart about 30 feet away from the line and just get it up to full speed and let it go.
Why?
When it hits that line, the wheel locks up.
Yes.
And the cart flips over eight or nine
times.
I get it.
There's a magnetic thing on there. Just take the fucking thing off the cart. That's the problem. Most homeless motherfuckers don't have a mechanical kit.
Yeah. Well, if you lift the cart 5 feet off the ground. Yeah. And lift it over the line.
The magnetic wasn't activated. I was going to say that.
You see, maybe.
anyway, that, you know, at that time, people were taking shopping carts. They were taking, just doing petty crimes. So the idea was that if you arrest people who are doing petty crimes like that, it would deter bigger crimes because you subconsciously, you would think that, if they're going to arrest you for that, you're going to think twice about robbing an old lady or breaking into an apartment or whatever.
It's called the broken windows.
Yeah, exactly.
Theory of policing.
Exactly.
And it also led to the stop and frisk in New York. And that was Bratton as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said, well, if we just stop and frisk every person on the street, no one's going to rob a bank when they can't even get away with a joint in their pocket.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Failed big time.
Right.
But I do believe the broken windows policy works. Like, well, in a neighborhood, if you reduce graffiti, gangs tend to go away.
Yeah.
You make it not a safe place for them to operate.
A lot of those things are effective to a certain level. But this dude goes on to illustrate how when Roe versus Wade was passed and it was legal for a woman to have an abortion, right? So he says you'd have to go back 30 years, 40 years to see what's going on now, right? So like in the 80s and the 90s, like around the 90s, crime starts going down. You go 30 years is around the time Roe versus Wade happened, right? 30 years prior. He said that when you have unwanted babies and you take away the right to have an abortion from a woman, then a woman has no choice but to give birth to a kid that she doesn't want.
And they become a burden on
The kid is not wanted. What do you think happens when you're not wanted and you're black? When you're not wanted and white, you start a punk band, right? You start a heavy metal fucking group, right?
Right.
When you're black and unwanted, or you're Latino and unwanted, guess what happens? Graffiti starts getting written, gangs, you start breaking into shit, you start stealing, you start taking. So what he was saying, that the actual reason for the decline in crime in America was after Roe versus Wade, because now women who are not capable of being parents, or, you know, mothers, they're able to, you know, end the birth at a humane time, and not have to do it illegally and have a botched abortion and all that shit. And as a result, most of the people who are growing up from that point on, you know, have a better chance because at least you're taking away the element of them not being wanted.
Sure, I think there's some truth to that. I think abortion's such a touchy subject, but I think it should be the right anyway. Even if it wasn't good for society, I don't think anyone should be forced to not do something with their body that they don't want.
Well, put it this way. I don't think a man should have a right to tell a woman that she can't have an abortion.
Right.
Number one. Number two, I don't think the fucking church should tell a woman that she doesn't have a right to have an abortion. Because let me tell you something. I don't have a problem with the philosophy of killing. I get it. I don't agree with it, but I don't have a problem with the ideology or the philosophy of it. I understand where you're coming from if you're a Christian or if you believe in, you know, pro-life or whatever. My problem is, so you force women to have kids that they don't want, then they can't afford to have them. They get thrown into society, right? They have to go to adoption agencies or whatever. So if the church is so wholehearted, you know, wholeheartedly believes in pro-life, then why doesn't the church take them? Take them all, and you raise them.
Well, I think you're making
a note.
Sorry. Please go.
It's starting to change a little bit because since the new pope came out, he started to change a little things about abortion and
the church's stand on it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, so things are changing.
It's going to change.
No, things are changing. What were you going to say, Matt?
I was going to say, you're sort of assuming that the church wants to act rationally about something. You know what I mean? There's an irrationality to all of these
things. I get it, but you're thinking logic, right? You're thinking that it's wrong to kill, right? Okay, let's go with that. It's wrong to kill a baby because you don't have the right to take its life away before it has a chance. Okay, that's fine. So then are you going to deal with it? Are you going to say it's society's burden and then all the taxpayers have to deal with it?
I think you have to decide how much government you want and what portions of your life you feel that government should be allowed to decide on.
Yeah.
And I think abortion is in that weird spot where it's kind of nobody's business, but
it's everybody's business.
But the people who did it. Yeah, I mean, these children do become a burden on society.
It's nobody's business.
Right.
But if you have an unwanted birth, then it becomes everybody's business.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think everyone should have the right to choose whether or not they want to have an abortion.
Yeah.
And I think that if someone decides that they want to have they're going to have a baby even though they don't necessarily want it and it becomes a burden on society, I think that's their own moral decision.
Absolutely.
And I don't think government has a place
in that decision. Absolutely. Going back to you have to decide about how much government you want. It goes back to this. It goes back to the first thing we said when we started the show, which is you have a lot of retarded fucking people and incompetent motherfuckers. What happens when you have a lot of retarded, incompetent motherfuckers? They can't make decisions that are right for themselves, and therefore it affects everybody else. So therefore, the government has to step in and fucking tell you what to do because you don't know that it's illegal that it's not right to shit on somebody's property, or it's not right to smoke a cigarette and fucking throw it out and don't care where it goes. It's not right to drink and drive because you might kill somebody, you know, on and on and on. Right? That's the thing that gets me about these, you know, Second Amendment guys that don't want regulation for handguns. I get it. Like, you're afraid that the government's going to take away your right, whatever. No. I'm just saying.
You also go into the government a lot of times thinks that they can regulate things that are unregulatable. I mean, the toothpaste is out of the tube on guns.
Absolutely.
Not getting it back in. You can ban guns all you want.
Right.
People who commit crimes don't go look up the law
first
and decide, am I allowed to have a gun?
No, I get it.
It's almost a moot point whether gun
I get it. But when you can't drive a car without a license, can you?
Well, not legally.
Legally, you cannot do it. It's. I mean, we have rules.
I mean, it's a pastime in Los Angeles to drive without a license.
Well, for some people with licenses, who gives a fuck? Is whether you have a license or not, it doesn't matter.
A friend of mine is a cop in Pacoima.
Okay,
and they regularly do, you know, one of those checkpoints where they and it's not a DUI checkpoint. It's a license checkpoint.
Really?
And he said the problem is, you know, you ever see those guys driving around in the $300 beater car? And they're always working on them. I live in Koreatown. There's always a guy working on his car on the street.
Okay.
The $300 beater car. And they're working on it every single day.
Yeah.
Always under it.
Right.
And you wonder, why do these guys do these cars? You know, the amount they spend at AutoZone and all their time, they could get a $1,000 car.
It's a mentality.
Well, he said, this is a cop that told me this. He said, they know the car's going to get impounded because they're going to get stopped for driving without a license.
Got it.
They're going to get a ticket with a name that doesn't exist.
Got it.
And a court date that they never go to.
Got it.
The car's gone. It's a $300 car.
Right.
You get another one.
I don't blame
you. So a lot of people just keep getting $300 cars and keep getting the ticket. So you can make all the laws you want.
Yeah.
You can build a border fence. I saw a great video the other day. How they get around the border fence. They just put a jack under it and they jack the fence up 2 feet and they go.
Yeah.
A lot of these laws are, I think, made to comfort people. We're sitting at home going, what do we have to do something?
To put people at ease. Absolutely.
It's the TSA.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think that if we all followed some sort of logical, how do you say, logical and humane and respectful way of thinking. Respect your neighbor, right? Be considerate of others.
I think you're asking too much of society.
I know, but I'm saying, if we all had that mentality, right, then you wouldn't need to be regulated.
Oh, sure. I mean, but that's pie in the sky, man.
Well,
I'm very cynical.
I'm with you.
I feel like the better way to look at it is society's going to be screwed up. How do I navigate it and right. take the least number of hits?
Right.
You know?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And sometimes you're pissing into the wind, I think, with gun control.
Oh, no. Like that, no, absolutely. But my thing with gun control is that if you are a legal gun owner, quote unquote, legal gun owner, then you should have to take some sort of, like, eyesight test, for instance.
Sure.
I mean, I'm sorry. You should have to take the same test that I have to take to pass right. my license. In fact, I think that taking a driver's license, a road test once, is ridiculous. I think you should have to take your road test every 5 years.
I can get behind that 100%.
5 fucking years. When the fuck is it okay for you to take your road test one time for your whole fucking life, and all you got to do is pay a renewal fee for a driver's license?
Freedom.
That's ridiculous.
Freedom.
You should, listen, is it going to be a pain in the fucking ass? Absolutely. Is it going to fucking put a thorn up your ass every 5 years to have to do that?
Right.
Absolutely.
Or even if just the test was actually a little bit hard. So, you know, if you're only going to take one driver's test, like, make it just a little bit
dude,
hard.
In L.A., should you use your blinker? I mean, no one uses blinkers here. Just basic fundamental things, man. Yeah. Basic fundamental rules of the road. You should, every 5 fucking years, you should have to take a road test.
Besides safety, though, in this my driver's test, it would also include etiquette.
Etiquette.
When you're making a left turn and the left turn pocket is full, you know how people just stay in the other lane?
Right.
No, man, you get over that double yellow and you get back and you get in line, you know? You don't block two lanes of traffic and make a left turn.
Absolutely.
You don't get
absolutely.
Away with that in my neighborhood.
It's not your fault. It's not everybody else's fault that you were fucking retarded. You didn't think you had to make a left turn.
Yeah.
But there's also a book about why traffic happens. And so the guy goes into the statistics about how, you know, having one lane, it's about traffic politics. So having one lane and making everyone forced to merge into one lane and then people getting pissed off because other guys are not waiting in that line. That he says that if people did not do that, like cut the line, you would never get through there. You would never get through on time.
Right.
So there is some sort of benefit to somebody cutting you off. And yeah. I'm talking about on the freeway and getting in.
It works in the same way on the Bay Bridge.
Right.
You know, there's two lanes on the Bay Bridge, right? Or four lanes, I guess.
Two and two.
But, you know, if they only had four lanes feeding the bridge,
right,
you'd never get on it. That's
right.
Why there's 17 lanes that merge down into one.
Right.
And we need, that fight has to happen somewhere.
Yeah. Which, by the way, Giacomo, he's kind of quiet because I'm just talking to you. But Giacomo just took first of all, I just came from Montreal. We had our world premiere of our film Silver Skies to two amazing screenings, well received by a bunch of varying demographic moviegoers. Great response from both screenings, Canadians. Thank you so much, Montreal. I got to give a big up to Montreal. Big up, you motherfucker! Big up, Montreal, you fucking French-Canadian bastard! Big up!
Oh, I'm so glad you have radio bits. I was hoping there would be radio bits.
They were good. Can I say something? Montreal, the people are fucking amazing. Love them. Love them.
Really?
Seriously, love them. The Canadian people are great.
Okay.
All around. But I hadn't been to Montreal in 14 years. Montreal, awesome people. The architecture there is awesome. It's a great city to visit.
All right.
If you haven't gone, it's like being in Europe, but in America.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
It's that fucking magical. You know what I mean? And people were nice. Anyway, so Giacomo, being from Switzerland, from the Italian, Italo-Switzo,
exactly. Yeah, Italian part.
Italian part. He's never been to San Francisco. This is the first time in the United States.
Yeah.
So he's
welcome.
When
Thank
he was
you.
In New York, I took him around New York. He's our intern for another week. You go back in about a week.
Sadly,
Fuck.
Yeah.
fuck. I was thinking about you today earlier. I said, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And it's been hot like a motherfucker. Otherwise, I'd be like, yo, come up to the valley.
Yeah.
The valley is the last place you want to be in this heat. It's hotter there than anywhere else in L.A.
All right.
Yeah, like about 10 degrees.
No, it was crazy these days.
No, it was crazy. So you drove up while we were in Montreal. He drove up to San Francisco because he wanted to go to San Francisco.
Actually. I didn't drove.
Oh, you didn't?
I booked a flight.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because it was impossible to rent a car.
Why?
Because I'm still not 25. I don't have insurance. So what? Fee for everything.
Oh, wow.
And it turned out to be
a fucking fiasco.
Too expensive to go there. Yeah, and nobody, because I had to, like, even if it was just for a week, to pay insurance for the whole month.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and then...
Well, I should have put you in contact with Matt. Matt would have told you about one of those fucking guys that owns a $300 fixer-up car.
Yeah, right.
He would have given him $60. He would have loaned you the car for the week, and you both would have been win-win.
I would introduce you to my friend Donnie, who is the king of ride shares. He will get in anyone's car
really?
For $30 to San Francisco. You know, and he always ends up doing some weird, shady deal. It's...
What, he'll just take you to San Francisco or he'll jump in your car with you?
No, he does not own a car. He just will Craigslist his way to anywhere.
All right.
You know, and it gets to the point where people know him.
All right. Don from Michigan. Yeah, I met Don in Michigan last time he was hitchhiking across America. So did you get a chance to see, you obviously got a chance to see the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, which was amazing.
Amazing.
I went there with the bike and I crossed the bridge with the bike.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
It's amazing. Isn't that one of the most amazing things that you've seen in America?
Yeah, it is. It is. And even going on the other side and going down to Sausalito,
yeah.
It was a beautiful place.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you see the Bay Bridge? The San Francisco Bay Bridge?
Yeah, the Bay Bridge.
I mean, what Matt was just talking about, the traffic going into San Francisco, mm-hmm. if you're driving from Southern California to go up to San Francisco, there's no other way. You'd have to cross that fucking bridge.
Right.
It is insane. Huh. I mean, I guess the only time you can do that is at 4 a.m. or 2 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, you can go around Sausalito, which is what people did when the earthquake happened.
To get into San Francisco.
Well, people that were at Candlestick Park and lived in Oakland, they had to go home to their families after they canceled the game.
Right.
And their bridge was closed.
So what earthquake was this?
Was it... 96?
Is that the Northridge?
The one that was during the World Series.
Huh. 96.
It was 86.
Probably 86.
I can't remember when it was.
Probably 86. I don't remember that.
It was during the third game of the World Series. Stop the game.
Hold on a second.
This is Michael Chiklis, and you're listening to Nestorius Public Radio.
Gotta give a little fucking celebrity pop.
Wow, you got Chiklis, huh?
You gotta do a little celebrity pop.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? So... Did you enjoy San Francisco?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
Food was delicious?
Food was delicious, because I didn't went out to eat that much because I was in with a family, so they cooked home.
Yeah?
And
you didn't go out? San Francisco has an amazing Little Italy. Did you go to Little Italy?
I saw it, but didn't eat there.
I got to tell you, man, there's like New York City's Little Italy is overrated.
Yeah.
The one in downtown is overrated. I don't know if you guys went there when you were there.
Yeah, we went there.
Did you enjoy? Nah.
It was touristic, Italian.
There's a really good Little Italy in the Bronx, and it's called Arthur Avenue. It's just a small fucking street.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. One of the most amazing fucking Little Italies you'll ever find.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. The next one is on the north end of Boston. Now that is another Little Italy, and if you were there, you'd be like, "Buongiorno, che se dice la camuntirinonda d'osca?" You'd fucking kick it with these motherfuckers.
Right.
They got bakeries, espresso, everything, delicious pizza,
mm-hmm.
pasta, mamma mia, che se dice? Eh? So you had a good time.
Yep, definitely.
Celebrities. Now go back to you, Matt. So you're an editorial photographer. We just went off into politics and all sorts of shit, but I want to get back to what you do, how you did it. I want to just get back onto that. So you were working at the Los Angeles Daily News.
Correct.
From like 24 to 22, 23 to...
20 years old.
20.
Yeah, and I started working there on the desk, and then I followed an exchange student girl that I met in LA, I followed her to Germany.
Nice.
We were gonna live together
in Germany.
Yeah, and I got a scholarship on an exchange program. And we broke up the week before I got on the plane.
No.
So the week before you got on a plane to Germany.
Yeah, and then I worked at a newspaper there, and then I came back to LA and continued to work at the Daily News, and then 9/11 happened, and all of the advertising money went away. You know, the big bra ads and the underwear ads, the Macy's ad, and all those that used to be in the newspaper, gone.
I'm playing this for you. Did you say German? This is Kraftwerk. You know Kraftwerk?
Oh, I can't even hear what they're saying, yeah.
The track is called Numbers, and they're saying numbers in many different languages. This is in German.
Yeah. Oh, man, I had my fill of German techno.
But this is before techno.
Yeah.
This is like...
Oh, you know, Kraftwerk is good. I would never hate on Kraftwerk. I like Kraftwerk.
Oh, Kraftwerk is fucking amazing. Yeah. Hey, as you were talking about German and going to Germany, I thought,
Each makes on chic.
You know this track?
Yeah.
You do?
I would do ride shares in Germany and get in cars, and the guy was like, I hope you like techno. 4 hours in
like,
a Beamer.
Do you like electric music? Yeah.
Like, machst du techno?
Yeah, that's big.
But you said
Germany.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
So you went to Germany. Oh, you didn't go to Germany.
I said, fuck it, I'm going anyway. Yeah,
that bitch ain't breaking up with me.
Yeah, and met a stewardess. We're in Germany. It was a German stewardess.
Wow. Young also, like you?
Yeah, young, my age. And she taught me German.
So you just stayed there. For how long were you there?
I was there for a year.
Nice.
And I worked for a really, really left-wing, almost communist newspaper.
So you went there and you automatically got a job.
Well, it was an exchange program. I mean, they helped me. No, they didn't really help me that much. I had my German girlfriend help me apply to basically just every newspaper in the country. And there was one that said, yeah, we'll let you be an intern. And it was the weirdest work situation I've ever been in my life. You could smoke at your desk. All the meetings were in German. They were about overthrowing the government and how it's terrible. And, they have this really great liberal, almost socialist government, and they consider it, like, totalitarian.
Yeah, that sounds like the 80s in New York. Could you sniff coke off of your secretary's ass cheek?
Yeah.
I mean, you could smoke at your desk. You could fucking...
Man, I'm too old for coke. I wish I had tried it.
Not worth it. Completely overrated.
Everyone has great cocaine stories, though.
Trust me, it's completely overrated. I mean, if you never did it, it's one thing. It's one thing to, like, fantasize about it, but trust me, it's overrated. Yeah. It's fucking overrated. Panties come off, you fucking lose your job, you lose your fucking rent. It's completely overrated, trust me. Okay, so Germany for a year, then you come back, then what?
Well, then I went back to the Daily News, and then very shortly after that, 9/11 happened, all the advertising money fell out for newspapers. We went from like maybe 30, 40-page newspaper to about 10.
Yep, I remember that.
And they had a lot of freelancers, which I was, and they went from a staff of 14 staff photographers and 8 or 9 freelancers down to 7. And I think the Daily News is still operating now. I think they're down to 2 staff photographers.
The LA?
The LA Daily News?
Wow.
Yeah, is down to about...
Do people actually read physical newspapers?
I mean, I love newspapers, and I used to make a point to always read the newspaper, and I don't anymore. So I can't imagine that many people do.
Right.
Interesting fact, the paper that the newspaper is printed on costs more than what you pay for it.
I'm sure.
Pay 50 cents, or I think it's a dollar now for the LA Times. It's actually a dollar's worth of paper. Blank.
At least.
Paper.
Well, they make their money through advertisements.
And the paper comes on huge ships in giant rolls from Holland.
Right. Oh,
it's
interesting.
Like, it's insane. Yeah, because they have virgin forests that they can log.
Oh,
all the logging here in America is regulated.
But they don't recycle the newspapers here in America and repulp the pulp?
Would you want to read a brown newspaper?
Well,
they have gotten browner over the years. They used to be that bright bright. Well, you don't want people to notice anymore. New series used to be bright, bright white.
Right. Well, on that note, as I was finding a parking spot, I saw this skinny black dude pull his fucking pants completely down to his ankles, okay? I was on Main Street, and he was about to fucking whip out his... I mean, he had his ass straight out. Sure. And I was looking for a parking spot. Otherwise, I would have stopped and take a picture just so I could be like, yo, journalistic activities, you know what I mean? But I felt bad for the car that he was about to splatter.
Absolutely.
So newspapers.
So he was going to go number two then.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah. He was squat.
Wow. So he was just rocketing out.
Dude. Yeah. He was like his ass was propped out from where the curb is onto like in between two cars or like at the end of one car. It was going down.
He was leaning back.
No. He wasn't leaning back. He was kind of squatted and he was leaning forward.
Asian style.
Oh yeah. He was. It was going down.
Wow.
It was going to go down. It was going to be.
I saw an old woman do that on Main and 7th the other night. Right in front of the taco shop.
All right. So this is one of my favorite fucking songs. Numbers. It's like amazing. They've done remixes of this song left and right, all over. Anyway, so you come back and magazines and newspapers are dwindling down.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, yeah, and so they kind of cut off all the freelancers, but they said, but, you know, we know about this photo agency that just started. It was called Wire Image.
Wire Image.
Yeah, and they had sort of taken the digital photography world by storm. And people tell this story, and others will claim that other agencies did it first, but it used to be that you would shoot pictures of people on slide film, and you would send those slides to magazines and they would run them. Mm-hmm. And if they ran, or they might run them. And if they did, then they would pay you for them. Mm-hmm. And so if you wanted to send slides to 10 different magazines, you needed 10 different slides. So
you
people would shoot a lot. So you could either,
they had to be
you could
different.
Either get, well, they didn't have to be different, but so you could either, take one shot that you like and then go to the lab and say, I want 10 dupes of this. Mm-hmm. And that costs money.
Sure.
Dupe costs more than when it's developed out of the original film.
I got it.
So what people did was they motor drived and got a lot of very similar frames.
Right.
And then they would just send off very similar frames.
Right.
And that's why you get these guys just hammering lots and lots of shots out.
Right.
And Wiremidge said, yeah, like 10 frames a second.
Right.
Nowadays.
Wow.
Wiremidge called up these agencies and they said,
but that's
what
film.
If we
You're
sent
talking about
you...
digital is no, like no. faster.
So Wiremidge said, what if we sent you JPEGs? And the magazine said, what? We don't know anything. Just send us slides. So people were shooting digital because it was cheaper and then getting slides made.
It was like going backwards.
You know, they had this new technology and you had to go backwards.
Right.
And so, but what happened, and this is the story they tell, and I don't know if it's true, but it's an amazing story. Was that after 9/11, you remember the anthrax scare?
Yep.
One of those editors, it was one of those tabloids, the really bad ones, the fake news ones.
Let's call it
Esquire. One of those guys,
Inquire,
the head of it.
I meant Inquire.
Was
it, it's Esquire.
Yeah,
Esquire. Esquire is actually a legitimate magazine.
They're not so great anymore either. But
I mean, they were.
One of those guys opened a package and died. Remember? He was the photo editor, or he was one of the top editors.
Maybe it was his time, and maybe he's one of those retards we were talking about in the beginning of the show.
But he opened an anthrax package and died. He was one of the only people that died during that anthrax scare.
Interesting.
Because they sent that package out to the heads of all these different magazines.
I remember.
He opened it and died.
I remember that scare. Yeah. That's why all the morons in all United States postal offices have to wear those stupid fucking anal examination blue gloves now.
They won't touch your package.
They won't touch your package.
Yeah, I can't get anyone to touch my package anymore.
Yeah, well. there you go.
And so he opened it and he died.
Uh-huh.
And so then all the magazines said, no more mail. Don't send us any more mail.
We're
not going to accept any mail. So you couldn't send them slides anymore. So they started buying JPEGs because of the anthrax scare.
Please don't send us any more mail.
Yeah, exactly. And so the agency took off pretty quickly. And... Getty was another agency called Getty Images was around at the time.
Because I know Wire Image, I know that was just strictly fucking digital photography.
Absolutely. Entertainment only, digital.
Yeah.
And then they started doing sports as well, and they started fighting with other agencies. I think at some point they almost had the NFL contract.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these things. So they bought the NFL archive.
So I used to freelance myself as an assistant to a pretty well-known photojournalist. And
oh, really?
Yeah. So he did work for Time. He did work for Scientific America. He did work for National Geographic. He did work for the Washington Post, New York Times, L.A. Times. So I flew with him all over the place to, you know, be his assistant. And he used to shoot with a 4x5 field camera with a Polaroid back. That's what he used to do. Okay.
Wow.
And so 4x5, he used to have to get that developed, FedEx it to the editor of whatever magazine or newspaper hired him. And at that time, you know, photographers, there were, I mean, you'd have to know what the fuck you're doing, right? You can't just be like with a 4x5 camera.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a barrier to entry to learn the
technology.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you have to know that. Now, everybody and their mother's a fucking photographer.
It completely destroyed the price of photos online now.
Right. So I have a Samsung Galaxy S4. I just went to the store just to see what the fucking new one is, the S6. They're telling me that the camera is a 16 megapixel camera. Okay. What the I mean, are you kidding me? A camera that'd be worth a few thousand dollars back in the day didn't even have 16 megapixel capability.
Yeah, megapixels are, it doesn't mean anything anymore because it's like one of those things that's gone past, they've gotten bigger than they need to be.
Right, exactly.
So at that point, it's no longer, computers, they don't, the gigahertz rating of your processor, your computer, doesn't really matter anymore. Now it's how many cores does it have?
Right, right.
How much RAM does it have?
How much shit can it process at the same time?
The bottleneck really now on computers is just the hard drive.
Right.
So people are getting solid-state hard drives.
Right. Instead.
But they're still advertising the clock speed of the processor. They're still advertising
as
how many megapixels
matters.
It has.
No, I know.
And with digital cameras, it's more about how good the sensor is in the camera itself.
Sensor for light?
Well, it used to be called a CCD, which is a charge-coupled device.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're called CMOS sensors, which I don't know what CMOS stands for, but it's a totally different type of sensor.
How do you spell it? CMOS? Is it CI?
CMOS.
CMOS. I'll look it up.
Right. So the quality of the sensor now matters more than the megapixel rating. And, you know, so Canon has some really nice sensors out that really good low light capability and things like that. And the actual physical size of the sensor is important.
That's physical size of the sensor.
Yeah.
So it's spell that again for me?
CMOS, C-M-O-S.
CMOS.
And so they're meant to replicate, you know, a 35mm film.
CMOS sensor. Okay.
You know, like your friend used to shoot on that 4x5, that huge negative.
Mm-hmm.
You get a ton of information on that big negative.
Oh, sure.
Right?
The picture's sharp when you blow it up.
If you shot that same picture on 35, you can't blow it up.
But you'll see the grain.
Yeah.
You'll see too much grain.
Right. So digital cameras are supposed to replicate 35, but they actually use a smaller sensor that's smaller than 35 most of the time.
Okay.
So if you pay a bunch more money, you can get one that's actually 35mm.
Okay.
And you'll get a much better quality photo.
That's related to full frame or not?
Yeah,
or?
It's a full frame would be full frame they mean replicating what 35mm
should
be. And, you know, there's even bigger sensors that are trying to replicate what a 120 film would be or 70mm. But even those aren't as big as a 70mm negative.
So an active pixel sensor, APS, is an image sensor consisting of an integrated circuit containing an array of pixel sensors, each pixel containing a photo detector and an active amplifier. There are many types of active pixel sensors, including the CMOS APS, used most commonly in cell phone cameras, web cameras, most digital pocket cameras since circa 2010, and most DSLRs, DSLRs, digital single lens reflex cameras.
Right. My camera, for example, has an APS-C.
Okay. Such an image sensor is produced by CMOS and is hence known as a CMOS sensor and has emerged as an alternative to charge-coupled device, which is what you were saying, CCD, image sensors. The term active pixel sensor is also used to refer to the individual pixels sensor itself as opposed to the image sensor. So, all right, that's too technical. I'm assuming that you need this to sense how much light so that the camera adjusts the pixels.
The sensor replaces the film. You know, light goes through the lens and it hits the film, and where it hits it's
records,
dark.
It records.
Yeah, right? So the sensor is just that. It's just film.
Got it. So it senses the negative and the positive light and captures the
image.
Where
light hits it, it's darker.
Right.
And it senses the color of that light by having, it used to be actually three sensors or it was filters. The old school 4x5 digital would scan once for red and once for green, and once for blue with a different filter.
Right.
And now the sensor, what they have is it's 3 pixels right next to each other.
Got it.
One senses red, one senses
Got
green,
it.
One senses blue.
Got it.
But yeah.
So that's an interesting thing. So I don't know how the fuck we got to CMOS from when we were talking.
Wow, yeah.
But let's continue from there.
I like the way you can bounce away around on this podcast.
You can.
Yeah.
It's
like falling into a hole on the internet where you just keep clicking links.
That's the way my brain works, though.
That's it.
How my brain works, dude. It's like I'm on eBay. I'm looking for screws, and then I'm like, I'm bidding on a fucking Porsche, and I'm like, wait, what the? Whoa, wait a minute, what the fuck?
Was I in a blackout?
I must have fallen asleep because when I started, it was like 11 o'clock in the morning, and now it's like 8.
That's it.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Just wanted pictures of Miley Cyrus. Now I'm reading about Stonehenge.
No shit. So. Let's get really fast to how you get to be a photographer for hire for like events like red carpets or whatever. How the fuck do you go from being a news like you know working on a newspaper desk to that? So no magazines. Well, you were on Wire Image.
I had one sort of small foot in the door, which is that when Wire Image started, they needed a credential for the Oscars. You know, the Oscars only let in publications and agencies that can prove that their images are actually going to go somewhere.
Got it.
And so if you're a new startup agency, they're going to go, fuck off, sorry. We don't need you.
Right.
But the Daily News had an extra credential. And they loaned it to Wire Image at first. And this could all be apocryphal or, you know, and there's probably lots of arguments about the history of Wire Image. But that was one of the ways that they sort of got their start. Or their legitimacy. And I remember for a long time after that, we got to use images at the Daily News for free.
From Wire Image.
We need a headshot of Tom Cruise, we could get it. And, you know, I'm
because
sure that deal is...
Because you were able to get into the Oscars because you had an extra
because
credential.
Wire Image was able to get into the Oscars because the Daily News loaned them a credential, they got some kickback for that for years.
Nice.
And that's, I think, worn off by now. They have so many photographers, can't just keep giving it away for free. But yeah, there were some deals like that. So they knew, my boss at the Daily News knew Wire Image through that sort of relationship. And they said, you know, he's a freelancer, you know, give him an interview. And they gave me an interview, and 2 months later, they called me back, and they said, we'll give you a job on the picture desk.
Right.
Which is, you know, Photoshop.
Right.
And captioning old images, you know, they had archives of trying to get all of these old negatives that people had. They're trying to get them digitized. So we'd be doing that all day.
So when you were at the LA Daily News picture desk, when you say Photoshopping, there wasn't Photoshop. You weren't actually using the program Photoshop.
Absolutely.
Were you?
We were Photoshopping, yeah.
So that was in what, 2000?
Photoshop 4.
Okay.
There was Photoshop 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then CS, and then CS 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Now, let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question. So you obviously know Photoshop.
Not in the way that an artist knows Photoshop.
No, but you know Photoshop as a photographer.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you go to school to learn Photoshop?
They taught us the basic Photoshop that you need for photojournalism in Pierce College in the Valley.
Okay, so they taught you the basics?
Well, I mean, there's a limit to what you're allowed to do in journalism. So we can't go moving heads from one person to another. You can't add, you know, you can't...
Move
and replace things. You know,
you
there
can
was a
contrast.
Famous,
you can lighten.
Yeah. Yeah. You basically the rule is anything that you could do in the darkroom, you're allowed to do.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
Photoshop.
Yeah. I got
so basically,
it.
When I edit an image for the Wire, I'll set the levels a little bit, maybe a tiny bit of sharpening, and cropping, and that's basically it.
Right. So the reason I asked you this is because there was a job opening at LA College, Los Angeles City College. I think it's over here in Vermont or something like that. And it was for an assistant to a photographer, a photography class lab.
Yeah.
Basically, the requirement was, or the job detail was, you know, handing out materials to the students. Basically, you're in charge of the locker materials and that other stuff. Mm-hmm. So I said, fuck it. I mean, I have enough experience as a photographer. So nowhere on the website did it give you any kind of preparation for the test. Right. And I was kind of trying to find out like what kind of preparation would somebody need? Nothing. The instructions said you just need to have basic understanding, yada, yada. I get there. I swear to God, it was like brain surgery. The questions they were asking were like fucking ludicrous. It was as if you were going to be hired to teach Harvard University entry-level photography 101. Right. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And it was like, I'd never been in a situation where there was, first of all, if there's a job opening for photographer for an assistant to a teacher in LA, 50 million motherfuckers are going to show up.
Yeah,
right?
Any job in LA people want to move.
Any job in LA. So it was packed, and it was one of those like tiered seating, like classrooms, like a teaching lab. Okay. And it was packed. And the guy was like you had to check in. They locked the doors. Like, what the fuck is this? Where am I? When I read the first couple of questions, I was like, they were asking questions pertaining to Photoshop that you'd have to be a fucking Photoshop Jedi master to even understand. I was self-taught. I mean, I've learned Photoshop by fucking around with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I know how to, not as an artist, but I know how to do pretty much anything to a photograph in Photoshop.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's sad because then they're going to weed out a lot of good teachers.
Well, it wasn't even a teacher. Well, it was a fucking teacher, like a teacher's assistant.
Right, and a lot of colleges I took, or classes I took in college, the teacher's assistant did most of the teaching.
Yeah, well,
the teacher would lecture, and then the kids would ask the assistant, what did he say?
Yeah. Don't get caught sniffing the cocaine. That's all you need to know for tonight's lesson, okay? So, all right. So that was a das it moment. Anyway, so we're gonna wrap up the show here. But so we didn't even get into fucking like all the great like. Give me one of the best, or when I say best. Best experiences you've had, like on assignment, on a red carpet, whatever. It doesn't have to be red carpet, whatever.
Well, I don't get starstruck anymore.
Of course not.
And you don't really meet these celebrities. I mean, they walk them in front of you like cattle, and you shoot photos of them.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, you're asked to interact with them in some small ways. And if I really like a celebrity or if I really like their show,
sure,
I don't want to go anywhere near them.
Because they're going to fuck up your perspective.
Right. They're going to be mean, or they're going to be having a bad day.
You don't want to risk
something,
that.
And then I'm never going to be able to watch that show without thinking about that cringe moment.
Right, sure.
And so one time Larry David's wife, or maybe it was Seinfeld's wife. I think it was Seinfeld's wife had written a book, and we... there was a really fancy party for the book reveal, and I had to go and ask Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld if they would take a photo, and I did not want to do it.
Of course not.
Because I love all of their work so much that I just
could
not.
Well, Jerry could be a little...
Yeah, and he's the one where you're not being paranoid if you think he might tell you to fuck off.
Because he will.
Yeah, or even, you know, he wouldn't even say fuck off. He would just say no thank you, but with such a tone.
Yeah, which means fuck off.
That you would feel, he could be very dismissive.
Yeah.
And they were both really nice to me.
Oh,
and,
really?
And it's a picture that I look at. It's not a great photo by any means. It's a picture
of
two guys
memory.
Smiling. And the publicist I was working for really wanted it. So, it worked out really well. And so the things like that I like. And then, you know, I've done weird things. Like one time I did photo approvals with Barbara Streisand.
Oh, yeah.
And her little dog was running around. And, you know, you
photo
get
photo approvals, what's that?
Well, like they look at the photos to see if they like them. Uh-huh. And, you know, and if they don't like them, we don't put them up. Because we like to have good relationships with the celebrities.
So you take photos, but under the condition that she's got final approval.
Yeah.
Barbara.
Yeah. And that's usually their publicist or somebody.
Sure, sure.
But Barbara came in and actually did the approvals with me. And. You know, I've met Justin Bieber, and he's not a dick.
Yeah.
You know,
really?
People like to call him a dick, you know. It's fun to call him a dick.
Yeah, but he's...
But he's just a kid.
Yeah.
He's just a kid.
In the grand scheme of things, he's one of the most insignificant, to me, individuals, except that he's Canadian. The only thing that that redeems him is that he's Canadian. I've never met him, so I would think maybe he's a good guy. But we're gonna wrap it up. Giacomo was just at a red carpet event that he was gonna share. There was an opening of Everest, and there were a lot of celebrities there.
Yeah. Exactly.
And Jimmy Kimmel is right across the street, and Johnny Depp was there. And Gina Davis, you said?
Susan Sarandon
was there, and they were taking photos and signing autographs.
And signing.
That's awesome.
And, yeah.
That's awesome. I love that.
I noticed you have all of your festival wristbands on still.
European
festivals. Oh, these are European ones?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's great. They look just the same as the ones here in America.
Oh, all right.
the European festivals for like concerts and stuff?
Yeah, those were all festival I got to play or just go there.
Cool.
Yeah.
He's in a band as well. Anyway, we're going to wrap it up. We kind of went a little over. Thank you so much, Matt, for coming on the show. Do you have a website? Do you have anything you want to promote?
No, I mean, you can see if you search Matthew Simmons Getty Images or Wire Image, you'll find my photos online.
That's one M, right? Or two M's?
In Simmons? Yeah, two M's.
Two M's. And you have 1 week left. We'll get you next week.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
perfect.
Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, I
want
to talk to Giacomo.
Make sure you tell your friends about Nestorius Public Radio. We're coming. I just want to say this real quick. We're coming towards the last few episodes of Nestorius Public Radio here. So I'm going to keep you posted as the time goes by. I'm sad to say that I think we have about five or six more shows due to logistical circumstances, but we'll figure it out. I just want to let you know. Tell people to check out the old shows. Go to iTunes, subscribe. Go to SkidRowStudios.com and look up Nestorius Public Radio. You can listen to the episodes there or download them there. And that's it, man. We out. Thank you very much.